Hey, welcome into the Big Ten Huddle. I'm your host, JR, and we have got a packed show for you today, this afternoon, because not only do we have casual Big Ten Ken, but we're also being joined by the Sunny V, Sunny Verma from Locked On Illini. We're going to have a lot of Illini talk today. So we wanted to get the expert, we wanted to get the man that knows all about the Illinois Fighting Illini, Sunny Verma, to be here with us. Sunny, have you recovered from the game last night yet?
Somewhat as much as someone can recover from losing to Kevin Willard yet again for the second straight year at home. Not many other fan bases can say that. In fact, we're the only fan base that can say that. But I'll survive.
I was going to say, Ohio State got, just absolutely trounced. Kevin Willard put like 40 plus points on him for the first, like a margin of victory, not just like 40 plus points overall in the first half. So don't worry, you did not get embarrassed nearly as bad as Ohio State did. So that's the positive. And we got Kent Casual Big Ten with us. Kent, how you doing?
Doing great. Sonny, love the hat. I don't think people knew this, but I actually also wore an Illinois hat today. So we're kind of matching.
If you're listening on podcast, Kent has his hat on that just says bad on it.
Just for last night, though, it's just a Illinois versus
No,
Maryland.
no, 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 no. You're not getting away with that. That's fine. Okay.
Sonny's gonna clip
We'll
this
see.
when they win the
Our
conference.
half a season still ahead of us.
It's true.
There we go. There
True,
we
true.
go. All right, we got a packed show for you all today. We are going to be talking a lot of Illini at the beginning. We're going to talk about the game last night with Maryland. We'll also touch on Maryland a little bit too. We don't want to just make it only Illini, but we're going to talk mostly Illini with that game, and then we're going to talk about their next coming game, which just so happens to be Northwestern on Sunday. And if you remember back, that was the a loss that Illinois suffered early on in the year, and it was a little bit unexpected. So they're going to try to get right with this next game, especially with considering the current trajectory of things, the way they are going right now, based off of that Maryland game. And then we're going to get into Michigan Purdue. We're going to preview that game, and then it's midseason. We're almost 50% of the way through the season, so we're going to give out our midseason Big Ten awards: Player of the Year, Freshman of the Year, Transfer Year. We're not going to do like first team, second team, stuff like that, because that just takes so long to do. Because if you have to give an explanation for every single player you put in there, and if you don't, you guys yell at us in the comments. So, and I don't feel like getting yelled at. So stop yelling, and maybe we'll do more stuff. But still comment. Still comment. Just don't yell. And then Big Ten tournament predictions. Not like predicting if teams are in and out, but kind of like the numbers with it, who's the highest seeded, who's the lowest seeded, stuff like that. So we're gonna get into that. Please do like and subscribe to the channel. It helps us out a lot. Like this video, it definitely helps us out. And if you ever can't catch us live or for whatever reason, just go listen on podcast. The podcast version is available, the Big Ten Huddle, wherever you can find podcasts. And then of course, Sunny, I said Locked On Illini. Sunny, anywhere else you want the people to go find you at?
No, Locked On Illini, the Sunny V. You can see it on the screen and also long form. Every now and then, I still show up at Illini Cast as well.
There you go. Kent, any place other than the X Machine people need to go find casual Big Ten?
No, but I will say something nice real quick before we get started. I listened to Sonny's episode of right after the game yesterday, and the most level-headed conversation I've ever heard from Illinois people about realistic expectations and what happened in the game. So please go listen to his episode of Locked On Illini that he, I think he recorded it last night, but it's available now. So really good episode, by the way. So I'll plug his show.
I appreciate it again. Thank you very much.
Yeah, great job last night, and had a Sam on from Locked On Cubs. He was a fantastic guest as well. So, not too many people in the chat yet, but John did make sure he got in early to say Illinois got Kevin Willard masterclass last night. You don't get the Kevin Willard masterclass all the time, but every now and then you get the masterclass out there. He gave it to Ohio State this season earlier on in the year, so I can't talk too much. But let's talk about the game, right? So Maryland wins this one, 91-70, and the first thing that came to my mind was, what's wrong with Illinois? right? Because I think this team is one of the most talented, if not the most talented teams in the Big Ten. And right now, they're just simply not playing like it. Now, there were other factors and stuff like that this last game that I'm going to let Sonny get into, but it seems like there can kind of be factors just about every time Illinois loses a game. So we're not going to make excuses, but we are also going to address the reality of what's going on with Illinois. So Sonny, I'm going to leave it up to you. Like, what did you feel like was holding Illinois back specifically in this game against Maryland? Because they did lose, like I said, 91-70, and it was at home for Illinois as well.
So I will say, I'm going to start off with the bad, because there's plenty of bad to talk about. And I'll give you guys your turns, you know, to get your viewpoints, because I'm very curious as well. Mostly, it's all going to be negative. But I do ask for time at the end to say, to tell my opinion that the season isn't exactly over yet. Like, there's still a lot of time to correct a couple things. And I don't think the glass is half empty, as a lot of people on social media seem to think. And let's just talk about yesterday's game. It was the worst game I've seen since. I think that's the worst home loss Illinois has had in like 3 or 4 years. It was not necessarily close, but at least they kept it within 10 or so until there's like about 6-7 minutes left. And then Maryland just kind of ran away with it. So I wouldn't say it was as bad of a beating as 21 points looks like, but quite honestly, the team looked lifeless out there. It's hard for me to say, because I think right now there's a lot of Illinois fatigue, because not just Illinois fans, but the national writers, you have the Fantas, you have the Rothsteins, all of these guys are constantly, even after losses, posting tweets something like, this Illinois team is tier one, if not, you know, right below tier two, right behind Auburn and all those type of teams. And I think other fan bases are getting tired of hearing it, because at the end of the day, Illinois is 13-6 right now. Let's acknowledge the banter with the Michigan State fans for the past week, where the perception has been by Michigan State fans, strictly by Michigan State fans, that Illinois has been complaining for the last 4 or 5 days. The national media, and look, I've watched that Michigan State game two and a half times, and that is still justified. I still think the officiating in that game was awful, but no one's complaining about the officiating against Maryland yesterday. In fact, most Illinois fans are all complaining about the team itself. I think what yesterday showed, and kind of the last couple of games have showed, Illinois has lost 3 of their last 4, is that this team is very much reliant on Kasperis Shakichonis and Tomislav Ivicic. I will say, my everydayers on Locked On Illini, who are going to be watching this later, they'll know, maybe a week into the season, 2 weeks into the season, I actually said that Ivicic was the most important player on this Illini team, because he's the quarterback of the defense. And at his size, he's the only player that Illinois just can't replace. We have more wing players to try to take up, because Kasperis is the best player. But Tommy Ivicic is the one guy that Illinois really doesn't have anybody that we can put in his place. Morez Johnson, very talented, my favorite player on this Illinois team, but he's a freshman, a Big Ten freshman, and he still has some developing to do. Unfortunately, you know, for Illinois, if you told me Illinois was going to be 13-6 at this point in the season, I think I would be mildly disappointed. But if you told me they're going to win games that maybe they shouldn't have and lose games that they shouldn't have in the preseason, I'd be like, yeah, that sounds like this Illinois team. Jerry, you and I have talked about this before the season started. I thought we would struggle early in the year as this team continues to kind of gel together. You're replacing 10 new guys on this roster. It just looks like it's carrying over a little longer than I wanted to. This Illinois team simply has flaws, right? As much as Brad Underwood has hit on Trey White, Kasperis Shakichonis, Tomislav Ivicic, obviously he struck out with a guy like Kerry Booth, who we thought could be another big man in that rotation. And last night, when you're already down Tomislav Ivicic, Maryland is the one team in the Big Ten Conference, and Michigan being the other, that they can outbig you to death. And Illinois simply at one point had Jake Davis guarding Derek Queen. Ben Hamrickhouse stood no chance against Derek Queen. Julian Reese had, what, 27 and 17 yesterday, I feel like. And the team itself was depleted. Again, I'm not making excuses. I'm simply saying Illinois lost that game. It was embarrassing. They've got a lot of fixing to do on this roster. Is the season over? No. But I just think, you know, sure, our hopes for the Big Ten Conference are gone. But the team itself, I think right now, is just has some soul searching to do. Brad is going to have to coach the heck out of this team because the next five games are all winnable. And, you know, we'll see what happens from that point on. Yesterday was an eye-opener, though. I mean, you should not lose at home. But again, for some reason, Illinois always loses to Maryland. I think that's the one team that Brad Underwood has the worst record against, outside maybe Purdue. He's always struggled against Maryland, and it just continued yesterday.
Kevin Willard's got Brad Underwood's number, apparently. I have no idea if it's – I think he was probably losing to him before then as well. I have no idea. But anyway, yeah, no, I don't think you're making excuses, Sonny. I think that, you know, you have to point out what is going on. You don't have a Vesich, and Maryland is a team that, you know, runs the floor very well, and then they also have very good bigs. So without having your starting big man, that's definitely an issue. But at the same time, like – you know, I think you guys said it last night, you know, Vesich isn't worth 21 points. So it's not like if he played, if Maryland kept playing like that, there probably wasn't going to be a win out there for Illinois. But Kent, I want to get some of your thoughts on it as well. That game last night, not exactly pretty. Illinois not looking great after the loss and a couple other things happening, the USC game, stuff like that. What's your thoughts on it all?
Yeah, I mean, I still think very highly of Illinois. I think that they have, you know, one of the best rosters in the entire conference. I also think Indiana has one of the best rosters in the conference, and you can see what some of those best rosters are putting out this year. I mean, it's just, to me, if I'm just focusing on last night, there was just three main factors that I think I can boil it down to for why Illinois lost. And obviously the first one was anyone with eyes could see that they just couldn't stop inside, which Sonny already talked about. The turnovers, though, I thought were a huge problem. And I'm actually giving Maryland credit on that because, yeah, there was some careless stuff, like where, like, I specifically remember Boswell just threw it in the backcourt one time. That was one of the turnovers. But also, I think that Maryland's guards, for as bad as they shot the ball, I think that they played really good defense and put a lot of pressure on the guards from Illinois. So I want to give them credit on that. That was part of the reason Illinois was turning it over so much. And then, again, something Sonny mentioned on his show last night, just not making shots for Illinois, like, can't happen anymore. Like, there's no more excuses. You're at your home gym. You can't expect – you need your three-point percentage number to be over or at least near 30. And last night they shot 21% from three. Can't happen against the team.
I just want to jump on that real quick. This is a team that's built on 3-point shooting and layups, right? And right now, you can double check if my stats wrong, but from what I saw this morning, Illinois is the second worst 3-point shooting team in the Big Ten Conference since conference play started. That's just, you've got a team built for one way, and you're just not good at it right now. And that kind of tells you why all these games are so close. And again, I'm not trying to steal your moment, but, you know, Maryland was scoring. They had 60 plus points inside. Usually Illinois really doesn't mind that often, because we'll trade your tough two for a three on our side. But if our threes aren't falling, that's where you see the gap come in for these differences.
Yeah. And then another thing that for me last night, and this is kind of, I guess, my fourth point, but when Illinois finally did go to the zone, I thought it worked perfect at the beginning. It looked like Maryland — I actually texted somebody, it wasn't you guys, somebody else — I said, it looks like Maryland's never seen a zone in their life. They didn't know what to do at first. And then they went right back to, let's make two or three passes, go inside, and we're still getting one-on-one or double teamed and someone else is open. And I thought just eviscerated the zone towards the end because there was no size inside. So I think that, you know, most of the credit needs to go to Maryland. I think that they deserve a lot of the credit because they didn't go away from their game plan, which is, hey, they don't have a big down low that can play defense. We're going to pound it. And even when they switched to the zone, I think that after the first couple of possessions, Willard's like, hey, let's go back to doing what got us to this lead in the first place. dump it back inside, even if they are playing zone, and we can still score that way. So I give them a lot of credit for Willard sticking to the game plan, how hard Maryland played, how much they pressured Illinois' guards, like I said, and, you know, just a great game from them and a game that they desperately needed, I thought. So good win for Maryland.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Maryland deserves a lot of credit for the win. And, you know, Maryland has good numbers this season. I'm pretty sure they're a top 25 net team, which is like fourth or fifth in the conference. I believe they're ahead Wisconsin last time I checked. But they don't have, you know, a super, you know, splashy win on the schedule or anything like that, or like a really close loss to somebody that isn't as good. So, you know, like they're not necessarily getting the credit for that, but they're still a team that's pretty high up there in the net. And they have the superstar freshman in Derek Queen. And when he's on, it looks like a really, really good basketball team. But unfortunately for him, he's also adjusting to Big Ten play, and it's a little bit more difficult for him as well. I do want to touch on, you know, after I listened to your episode, Sonny, I started, you know, thinking back to kind of this season in the Big Ten overall, and it's kind of been a weird season with a number of teams not having the best home court performances, which is strange, right? Because the Big Ten is typically a conference where home court performances are typically much better than maybe ones on the road. Michigan State this season, they average more turnovers at home than they do on the road. It's really weird, but for whatever reason, it's just that way. Purdue lost to Ohio State at home after a double-digit lead. They looked this up on Sleepers, and I guess I'm taking their word for it. I have no idea if they're right or not, but the last time Purdue led at home by double digits and lost was 2018. Before Ryan Day was the coach of Ohio State was the last time. You guys know who that game was against? Ohio State. So, like, for whatever reason, just weird stuff is happening. Nebraska lost for, what, the first time in, like, 26 games or something like that? Like, something weird like that. I don't have all the stats memorized in my head, but there's been some weird home court performance. Well, Sonny, you know, Oregon. Oregon led 111 points on Illinois earlier this season. So for whatever reason, the home court advantage is going away at times for teams this season. And certain teams like, you know, Michigan are ones that haven't really endured that as much, but the door is still open for something like that to happen. You know, Wisconsin hasn't really endured that yet, but who knows? Something like that could still happen. So I'm not using that as an excuse. I'm just saying that there's something weird going on this season with performances at home. But I do think going forward, like, it needs to be addressed that somebody has to be willing to step up when players are not having their best night or they are just completely unable to play. Also, too, Brad Underwood said Thomas Avichus was deathly, like, ill. He was sitting on the bench last night. Dude, get your guy off the bench. Don't have him come to the game. And he said he was ill during the Michigan State game, too. Like, what's your plan here? Are you trying to get the whole Michigan State team sick, too? Like, I know it's kind of a joke, but also at the same time, like, if you got somebody dealing with, like, a really bad, you know, illness, whether it's strep throat or whatever it is, like, get them away from the team. You don't want that spreading across the team. I know you can't always control that, but still, it's like, how many more people are we going to find out have strep throat and stuff like that against Northwestern? And Avichus is feeling better, but he was on the bench. So I don't know, maybe social distancing or something like that for Avichus. I don't mean to take us back to 2020, but, you know, they need to be healthy. So
I will interject there. I did speak to a medical professional, AKA my wife, because I asked her the same question. Okay. And she said that if he's been off the not practicing for the past week, essentially since Michigan State, that means the antibiotics have kicked in, and so he's no longer contagious. So that's
okay. That's, all right.
Yeah.
All right. Expert opinion here on the Big Ten Huddle. Thankful for that. but still, my fact remains, if somebody's sick on your team, just tell them to go home for a little bit. Get them the antibiotics and let them not be contagious.
So JR, actually, that's been the case for the last 4 or 5 days. They've only had 7 players practicing.
Well, yeah. Will Riley and Trey White were sick, too?
They were questionable. And Kylan Boswell, he's been sick, too. He just wasn't at the point where he had been recovering enough where he tried to, you know, give it a go yesterday. But anytime you look at his face, he looked like he was, you know, pretty – he wasn't feeling all that great. Again, I'm not making excuses. I'm just simply talking about – the team was obviously sick. Will Riley, every time he had the ball in that first half, he lost it just simply because the defender would strong arm him and take the ball away. So, Yeah, I just want to interject about the sickness part. I know Brad referenced it too, and the scary part for Illinois fans is Brad said that he doesn't know how long Tommy's going to be gone for. And if that's the case, then, you know, I'm concerned all of a sudden by Sunday's game against Northwestern, because losing 3 out of 4 is already bad. But, you know, losing, getting swept by Northwestern at home, that could be troubling. I know we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Well, I'm glad you said that. I was going to go ahead and segue there. Kent, we'll get your thoughts on this game first. Like, Illinois lost to Northwestern early on in the year. Not sure what your thoughts are with that game going into this one. Obviously, the home court advantage for Northwestern in that one, I felt like was a big deal for them. However, this is like Sonny said, this is a game that Illinois really needs to win, not just for, you know, their record, but also you can't get swept by Northwestern this year. So if they lose to Northwestern, that would be 4 of their last 5 would be losses. They've already lost 3 of their last 4. And if we're looking at it, like, the schedule, it gets a little bit easier, but not really. After Northwestern, they have 2 quad 1 games at Nebraska, then Ohio State, and then at Rutgers, at Minnesota. Those aren't quad one games, but those are still places you travel to in the Big Ten. And like we said, it's hard to travel in the Big Ten. So what's your thoughts on this one? And do you think Illinois can pull it out?
I think that they can and they should, and they absolutely have to. There's a couple factors that I think will be different in this game than the Maryland game last night. Number one, it's this weekend, right? So I feel like the crowd will be more involved than it was last night. And I expect that to be a factor for just the team in general, the morale. And like we were just talking about, if we can get everybody on Illinois healthy, then if they have their full arsenal, then on paper, of course, they are the better team, and they should absolutely win this game at home. I think that Northwestern is the top, if not top three, maybe the top effort team in the conference, though. And from what I saw last night, Maryland giving, I think, just watching as a neutral observer, more effort than Illinois did. If they come out flat, Northwestern will jump on them. I don't think that Northwestern will shoot it good enough, and I'm expecting Illinois, because it's been like this all season, a good shooting game. So, like, I don't expect them to have a really bad shooting game back-to-back games. I think that they'll shoot it a little bit better. I think the crowd will be more involved. I'm expecting Illinois to win this game, but I give Northwestern a fighting chance because of that word exactly. They fight every game. They've been involved in almost every game. There's been a couple of games that got away from them, but they fight. They play good defense. They're very disciplined. It's just going to be a matter of if they're going to be able to score enough to keep up with Illinois. And I don't think that with all the other factors that I just mentioned, they will be able to this weekend. But I'm looking forward to it. It should be a great game. Here's what I will say. If Northwestern comes in and beats them, I'm very concerned about Illinois because of how bad I think they need this game just to get the ship righted.
Yeah, I mean, last game, I looked up the numbers, Sonny. From 3-point, they were 26.5% from the field. Just on normal field goals, they were sub 40% last game. Now, Northwestern didn't shoot great either. They were on field goals, they were sub 40%. And then from 3, they were only 19%, but they come out with the win in that one. Do you foresee Illinois to have a better shooting night? I think Northwestern could possibly. I mean, Ty Berry had a much better game against, who did they play? Indiana. But that's also because Indiana didn't know how to get around a ball screen. But I think Illinois probably has a little bit of a better opportunity there. But what's your thoughts? Like, do you think this team can start shooting a little bit better? Like, Ben Hummerkaus, I'm looking at you.
I mean, I want to say yeah, but I feel like I've been saying yeah all season long, just waiting for, you know, them to flip the switch and start making the jump shots. Right now, it's hard because, you know, speaking of Sunday, I don't know if what's his name, Brooks, is playing. Like, I don't know if there's been any word after he fell on his head on the last play of the game.
I'll ask him real quick.
Okay, sounds good. You know, Tommy Vesich. I agree with you. It's a must win. You know, it's just for morale purposes. If we're being honest here, and I said this on the post game last night, all of a sudden, I'm starting to get 2022-2023 vibes from this team, the Matthew Meyer team, where, again, they assembled a lot of talent. You know, you had the Jaden Epps, you had the... Just
keep the monster away from Ben Hummerkaus. Don't let him have any monster, okay?
A very talented team, but they just could never get it together. And so, you know, where is the ceiling on this team? I still think high. And, you know, maybe this is the bias in me, but I still think that if every Big Ten team plays to its ceiling, Illinois wins, is the best team in the conference. But what I think I've realized in particular after last night's effort is that Illinois more often plays to their floor, which is lower than the other contending teams in the Big Ten conference. And that's why, you know, when Illinois plays Michigan on March 2nd or Purdue, the second to last game in the season, I will go in fully expecting Illinois to win. But at the same time, when Illinois plays Ohio State next week, or again, Northwestern on Sunday, I have very little confidence that this is a game that Illinois doesn't have to worry about, because too many times already this season, they've shown that if everything isn't clicking, anybody can beat them.
Kent, over under 1.5 teeth loss for Brooke Barnheiser in this one.
I'm going to say under. I just sent him a DM. I said, I can't wait to see masked. That's a hard word to say for me. Masked. Like, yeah, with a mask on. Brooks this weekend. So that's me fishing for an answer on whether he's playing or not. So we'll see if he responds before the end of the pod. So I think he'll have a mask on, though. That's an easier way for me to say that in English. He will be wearing a mask. And that will prevent him. I guess his mouth won't be covered up on a mask, though. So he could still lose teeth. The thing is, he doesn't have his teeth.
He gets one of those hockey ones, though, that has like the little small mouth.
Yeah, you know, he could do that.
I don't think they let you wear those.
Mouth guard, maybe. I don't know.
All right. Keep going on with it, but I'm sure other people do want to hear about basketball. You talked about shooting. Is there anything else in this game you're looking for that you really think Illinois needs to do a good job of, or Northwestern, like, they need to do a good job of in this one? Obviously, you know, in the game against Indiana, like I said, their shooting was better, but in the game against Illinois earlier this year, both teams really struggled in a number of ways. Northwestern didn't get very many bench points, and Illinois got some more. But as far as I'm concerned, like, this is a game where both teams didn't play great last time, but both teams really need to play well because both teams need it pretty bad.
Yeah, I think that the matchup I'll be looking for is if Avisic is back, right? Like, if he is, I think that they almost go to the Maryland game plan from last night and say, hey, we're going to dump it inside right now. I know Matthew Nicholson can guard a little bit inside, but I think that the advantage would be for Illinois to, like, maybe go inside a little bit more against this Northwestern team, because I think that their guards match up decently against each other. KJ should have a great game, because I don't know if there's anybody. I would expect Brooks, if he's playing, to be guarding him, I'm guessing, as one of the better defensive players on Northwestern's team. But then the other guy should be available to, you know, be ready to go from inside to outside. That's what I would be looking for from Illinois. Like, inside first, like, go right at Matthew Nicholson, maybe get him in foul trouble. And then Northwestern's probably a little bit in trouble because they don't have depth down low. So that would be a matchup that I'd be looking for in this game. I would go almost exact opposite of what, you know, or the exact same as what Maryland did last night, and maybe try to pound the rock inside a little bit.
Makes sense. Sonny, give me your matchup and then give me your score prediction. Who wins?
I like the big man down low matchup. I just think that if Kasperis is as good as we all want to believe that he is, he's got to be able to look around and see that if the shots aren't falling, it doesn't matter who's guarding him, he's just got to take control. That was one of my big issues with him yesterday. Against Maryland, he continued to try to be a playmaker. Problem is, he was setting his teammates up for open shots. The shots weren't falling. But when he attacked the rim, for the most part, when he wasn't making stupid passes, he had no problem scoring himself. So if Kasperis is the top three projected pick that, you know, certain mocks are coming out with him as, I just need to see a Kasperis game. You know, it doesn't matter who's guarding him. He's where my eyes are focused on. You know, that's what we need. You know, we don't have that second guy, whether Tomislav is playing or not. I just want to see killer Kasperis and not playmaker Kasperis, which we saw, you know, the first three, four games. I'm going to say Illinois wins just because I think Brad understands how important this game is. But I'm being very honest with you that I don't feel confident in saying that by any stretch, mainly because I don't know what's going on in that locker room when it comes to, you know, how these guys are feeling, who's playing, who's not playing. But it's a must win at home against Northwestern. And I think, you know, I think they can take care of business.
Yeah. Yeah. Illinois can come out and be the dominant rebounding team that they've been, this season. They've been averaging some of the best rebounding numbers in the Big Ten overall this year. I know they, had their big men out last game, but if Vesich can come back, I just need him to get down low, get rebounds, him or Rez when he gets in there. Ben Hummerkaus needs to crash the boards as well. Like, you need these guys getting rebounds because even when shots aren't falling, if you're getting rebounds, if you're getting second chance points, it makes everything so much easier for your team. So I think Illinois will probably pull this one out. I'm gonna go probably 77 to maybe like 72 or something like that. I do think Northwestern's gonna score. I do think that Illinois will play good defense, but I think it's gonna be kind of an up-paced game a little bit, and you'll see some good stuff from either side, so, or from both sides. So that's my thoughts there. All right, let's move on to the Michigan and Purdue game. This is a big game for the conference. Michigan and Purdue both sit atop of the Big Ten standings up there with Michigan State. So right now, Purdue, after coming off that loss to Ohio State, they are 7-2 in the conference. Michigan, they're 6-1, correct?
Yep.
Or 7-1?
6-1.
6-1. All right. Couldn't remember if they were 6-1 or 7-1. So they're actually ahead of Purdue right now, even though Purdue has more wins in the conference. But if Purdue can pull this one out at Mackey Arena, one of the toughest places to play, not just in the Big Ten, but in the entire nation. Braden Smith is going to want to come back. Had a tough game against Ohio State. Really, shots weren't falling for him. Trey Coffman-Wren had a good game. But for me, I'm looking at, and Kent, you know, maybe you'll speak on this, see what you think. But I'm looking at this pick and roll situation that Danny Wolf and Vlad Golden have going on, because I think that Vlad Golden and Danny Wolf are two of the best bigs in the Big Ten, especially when you consider their versatility. And Purdue is a team that has struggled defensively with their bigs this year. Caleb First has come in. When he came into the starting lineup, that was very helpful for this team. But and at least Trey Coffman-Wren isn't having to play the five all game, so that helps. But I mean, this is one of the best big men teams in the conference, and so Purdue's going to have their game cut out for them if they're going to want to stop them. Do you think Purdue can stop the bigs of Michigan?
No, I don't. Oh. I absolutely don't. I think that, you know, TKR, he's great, and I think that he's great defensively too. But there's two of them. And I don't see a situation where Michigan has much trouble with, you know, getting the ball to where they want to get it. There's not enough guys on Purdue that are going to be able to guard everything that Michigan does. There's just not. And if they're going to move guys like Fletcher down low to try to help with the pick and roll, they got great shooters. Michigan's a great three-point shooting team. So I think that I think Michigan's going to win tonight. I'll just get that right out of the way. I think that they're the better team, and we just saw Purdue lose to Ohio State at home. And I think that the conference overall is, we're getting away. Like, last year, there was a big advantage to being at home. I think that this year it's shifting a little bit. Like, we just saw Illinois. Is that two in a row that Illinois dropped at home? Nebraska's lost two in a row at home after winning like 26 or 28 in a row. Purdue's losing at home. Everybody, like, these teams can travel now. So that little narrative of like, it's impossible to win on the road, I feel like is not the case anymore. Now, Mackey's great. The crowd's going to be great. But I just think that Michigan's a better team. I think they have a better roster. I think that they're going to win tonight. They have too many weapons. I've looked at Purdue, and I said this last week, or maybe I said it on Monday. It seems like every game, it's like, well, this is one that they could drop. And the Ohio State game was one I was like, okay, they got this one. And they actually did finally drop it. So I'm going right back to where I was thinking before. I think this is one that they could drop. I think that they're outmatched at multiple positions. Even Braden Smith, like, Trey Donaldson's going to give him trouble. He's pretty good defensively. He'll get in your face. So I think that it'll be a really good game for Michigan. I expect them to win tonight.
Yeah, I still take Braden Smith, you know, as the overall player over Trey Donaldson, obviously. But you're right, Trey Donaldson, when he really focuses in on his defense, he can make it really tough for opposing teams' point guards. So we'll see. That'll be a really good matchup, not just the big men, but also that situation as well. Sonny, are you looking at the big men? You looking at the guards? Like, what's kind of your matchup you're looking at in this game to decide it?
So both, you know, just like we mentioned that Purdue, I don't think, can match the bigs that Michigan has. Spoiler alert, I don't know if any team in the Big Ten Conference really can. I'm still a little leery on whether, like, what happens when a guard goes off against Michigan. I want to see, you know, you guys mentioned Donaldson. I think that's going to be the key matchup that I look at. I think, you know, with the way the bigs, I think, are going to dominate on Michigan's side tonight, that Braden Smith's going to have a lot more pressure on him to be able to play make, to be able to score. This has to be a Braden Smith game, especially if he aspires to be, you know, player of the year in the conference and whatnot. And, you know, I've been very high on Michigan all season long. On Lockdown Illini, I've called them, in my opinion, they're the second best team in the Big Ten Conference. But what I'm worried about is, you know, again, when it comes to March, if there's a guard that just goes off, do they have the guys to match up with them? And I think tonight's going to be a really good matchup, especially at Mackey.
Guys, I'm going with Purdue in this one. I know that Michigan has Danny Wolf and Vlad Golden, but I think Caleb First is going to give Danny Wolf a hard time. I think that Caleb First is doing a really good job so far this season at creating turnovers on the other team, and I think that Danny Wolf he's a turnover machine. Like, don't get me wrong, Danny Wolf is spectacular and what he's able to do at his size, but I look at this game and I agree with you, Kent. I think that overall, like, the talent and kind of the explosiveness of some of these players that Michigan has is greater than some of, not all of, because, you know, I just said Braden Smith, don't come at me, is better than Trey Donaldson. But some of these players that Michigan has overall is better. But, like, I look at this weakness for this Michigan team with turnovers and not being able to, you know, control the ball as much. And in the past five games, Purdue leads the conference in steals this year, or in the past five games. So if Purdue is able to make some turnovers happen and force Michigan in some bad situations, I can definitely see Purdue winning this game. We'll see. It'll have to play out first, obviously, but I don't think Braden Smith's going to have back-to-back bad games, and I think that Trey Coffin-Wren is going to hunt for a shot and try to get it. And it'll all come down to this Caleb First Danny Wolf matchup. Can Caleb First force turnovers on Danny Wolf? And, you know, what's going to happen with Vlad Golden? Are they going to try to put Trey Coffin-Wren in there? And then the other thing, I think the thing that Minnesota did well against Michigan that Purdue can replicate is just throwing big men at Vlad Golden to foul him. And you put Vlad Golden on the line, he's not, if I remember correctly, he's not a terrible free throw shooter, but you put him on the line and you're going to get him out of his rhythm. You're going to get the Michigan offense out of their rhythm, right? You throw Will Berg, you throw Riley Burgess, you throw some of these other big men that Purdue has, which aren't really like imperative to this team's success. You just throw them at Vlad Golden and have him foul him. You're going to take Michigan out of their rhythm, and this offense isn't going to do as well. We'll see if Matt Painter does it. I have no idea if they're going to, you know, take that route, but if I was Purdue, that's what I'd do, because they have some big men that are expendable that you can put in there and just say, hey, just foul them and, you know, turn the offense down. So any thoughts on that before we move on, guys?
I will say, for the record, I do think Purdue is going to win tonight. Oh, okay. As well. You know, I know I may have phrased it the other way around, but I just think, you know, when we talk about Illinois having the lowest floor of those contenders, I think Purdue has the highest floor. And I just don't see, as you mentioned, JR, Braden Smith having two bad games in a row and Purdue losing two games in a row at Mackey. I just think they'll be ready to go tonight, but we'll see.
Anything from you, Kit?
No, sorry. I rarely get taken away from getting or talking about college basketball, but that was my kid's school calling, so I apologize for that. But
you're fine.
Yeah, I still like Michigan tonight. I think that they're still going to win, so I'll just stick with that. And I actually think, looking at tonight's slate, this is one thing I was going to mention. I think I'm going to put together an all-road teams win tonight parlay with Penn State at Iowa, Michigan at Purdue, and UCLA, of course, at the worst team in the conference, Washington. So
there you go. There you go. We'll see if it happens.
It's got a chance. I think that has a high chance of hitting.
that has a high chance of hitting, higher chance of hitting than some other nights when you have all the road teams. So yeah, no, I like it. I like it a lot. All right, everybody, we're going to hit a commercial and then we'll come back and we will talk about the midseason awards. Stick with us. CBB Analytics isn't just another stat site. It's your ultimate destination for in-depth college basketball analysis used by fans and even the coaches. It has comprehensive stats for men's and women's basketball across Division 1 through 3 dating all the way back 2018. From shooting percentage to game recap, CBB Analytics has it all. Try CBB Analytics for free or pay for a tier to take your basketball knowledge to the next level. Back here on the Big Ten Huddle, be sure to use the code HUDDLE for CBB Analytics. If you use it, gets you $30 off, cbbanalytics.com. And please do like and subscribe to the podcast. We definitely appreciate it. Helps us out and helps you out because then you get to see more content and we put out more content for you. So win-win for everybody. All right, guys, we're going to do our mid-season awards. Now, these are not us predicting who will win the awards at the end of the year. This is us saying who deserves these awards at the midpoint of the season. The awards that we are going to give out are Player of the Year in the Big Ten, obviously, Freshman of the Year, Transfer of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Sixth Man of the Year, and Coach of the Year. So, Kent, we'll start with you. Player of the Year, who was your pick?
Brooks Barnheiser. He is top five in all the stats that you'd like him to be top five in, and he's number seven in a fourth stat that you'd like. He's top five in scoring, I believe. I was just double-checking all of this. I can't remember if he was in scoring.
Yeah, he's fifth. Not. He's right before okay, he's Bryce
fifth.
Williams.
Okay, scoring, yeah. He's fifth. Let me just double-check these. Rebounding, he's third. Steals, he's first. And then in assists, he's seventh. Like, is there a more well-rounded player right now that can say that they have higher stats in those four categories than Brooks? Like, he's potentially the defensive player of the year as well. He's also giving you points. Like, I'm not sure that, I mean, obviously there's arguments for other players across the board. Like, there's other guys that can score better than him. There's other guys that are rebounding better than him. But as far as from like an all around perspective, all around game, what he's giving on a night in and night out basis, I like Brooks Barnheiser right now. I think he deserves the midseason award for player of the year.
All right. I will not lie. I have a Brooks mention later on, not for my player of the year, but later on. So I like that pick. Sonny, what about you?
I'm just going to go chalk. I think it's Braden Smith. Just if I have to decide right now today, as you said, this is not projecting moving forward. Purdue 7-2 in the conference. You know, we'll see what happens tonight in that game against Michigan. For the most part, you know, he's been as advertised. You know, again, I'm an Illinois fan and I don't exactly have the best relationship with a lot of the Purdue people, but I'll give, you know, him his flowers. I think he's, you know, he's played really well. And I think as of right now today, he's a player of the year.
I will say, Sonny, just to kind of back you up on this, I think if the award was most valuable player, I would give it to Braden, because I think without Braden, Purdue is far less good than they are. And we've seen, like, Northwestern was without Brooks for a couple of games and they still did okay. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that I don't think Brooks is the most valuable player to his team. Like, without him, they still play pretty well. Without Braden Smith, I think Purdue would fall apart. So, like, he's the most valuable player, but I think player of the year right now, like, just like I said, across the boards, like what he gives every night. And he's got the numbers to back it up. I think it's Brooks right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think both are good picks. I'm going to go with Braden Smith as well. It's no shade to Brooks or anything like that. Like I said, he's going to be mentioned later on for me. But some other guys I thought of, you know, Ace Bailey, he's leading the Big Ten in scoring right now. Nick Martinelli is up there as well. Trey Coffin-Wren, John Tonji has gone a little, you know, hot and cold this season, but overall he's been a really good piece for Wisconsin. John Blackwell as well has been a really good piece for them. He's been stepping up when Tonji's not doing well. And then I thought of Kaparis Jakunis, but with the past four game stretch, I don't know if I can give the award to him if you know, we're gonna end the midseason that way. So maybe at the end of the year, but yeah, I went with Braden Smith even after the loss against Ohio State. So all right. I'll go next for freshman of the year. I already said his name, but I'll say it again. I'm going to go with Ace Bailey. It was Dylan Harper. Dylan Harper was my pick, but I'm going to go with Ace Bailey now. Dylan Harper missed one or two games. He's been a little off since then. I know some of that is probably the sickness and trying to get back to it, but Ace Bailey's won the freshman of the year award so far this season three times. Dylan Harper's won it three as well, so those guys are right up there for it. It's either one of those two guys in my mind, but I'm going to go with Ace Bailey just because he's been the consistent player that's going for him each and every night. Kent, who you got?
I went with Kasperis on this one. I think that he's been the best freshman so far. And again, there's always going to be an argument for other guys that, you know, are going to be on the list. But what he's done for this team, obviously he was back last night and they lost, so now is a tough time to talk about that. But overall on the season, it's not like I can just forget about the rest of the season just because they lost yesterday. He's been unreal this year and far better than advertised, more than what I expected from him. And I think that maybe I'm giving him the award too because I expected Ace Bailey to be this good. I wasn't expecting Kasperis to be this important to a team at this high of a level. So I'm going to give it to him, maybe because of a little bit of how shocked I am at how good he is, but also because I think he's that important for Illinois.
I'm going to agree with Kent. And, you know, I don't think I'm being a homer in that case at all. I think it's become plenty clear just how important Kasperis is to Illinois and for Illinois to, you know, reach the levels that we all think that they can reach. The Rutgers guys, you know, as talented as they are, and I know they're putting up numbers, but we just talked about, you know, their record, you know, and they're like, are you really going to reward a team that may or may not even make the Big Ten tournament at this point? And so I think, to me, you give it to the best freshman, you know, Kasperis since the Big Ten season started. Look, we talked about how he had a bad game yesterday. He had 21-7-7. You know, even in his bad games, he's still performing. So for me, it's a no-brainer for Kasperis.
Yeah, I think if you're going to take into account the team success and stuff like that, that's definitely a knock on Bailey and Harper, and you gotta definitely consider Jaconis and Derek Queen, I think, deserves a mention there too. So I'm not really sure if there's any other freshmen I would mention. Jace Richardson, but he's not even started a game for Michigan State yet this season. So John Mobley Jr. is doing well for Ohio State, but I don't think.
What about why did his name just leave me? What about Michigan State's point guard Fierce? Do you consider him a freshman still or no?
Redshirt freshman? I don't think. Do they give the award to redshirt freshmen? I don't think they do. Do they?
I don't know. I
think you have to be a true freshman, don't you?
I'm casual. I have no idea. You think I know that type of information?
Yeah. Well, you know what? He's not. If it was redshirt freshman of the year, maybe. But you know, freshman of the year is a true freshman for me. So
okay, fair enough.
Somebody let me know if they do give it to redshirts, because I didn't even think about that.
Is Philip in the chat? Philip's always good.
Philip's not here today. Did he have another dentist appointment?
He had to have. Otherwise, there's no reason for him not to be here.
All right. Next one is the transfer of the year. Sonny, we'll let you go first on this one. Who is your pick for the transfer? Let's say, I don't know if I didn't make this distinction with you before, but like transfer this year, they had to have transferred in this year. I don't want no, like, you know, this guy transferred in 2 years ago and now he's playing. Transfer this year.
I think you have to go with Golden. I think he's been, I mean, or I guess you can go with the other big, but, you know, it just the impact that he's had on Michigan. Michigan's offense is predicated on the two bigs that they have. And they're what, as you mentioned, 6-1 on the season. I feel like Michigan needs to get some sort of postseason awards. And I think Golden would be the guy.
John did the research. He said, yes, redshirt freshman can win the award. All right. So there you go. Jeremy Fierce Jr. in that discussion as well. He is so cool, calm, and collected out there. I love watching him play. I'm going to agree with you, Sonny. Vlad or Danny were my two picks. I was going to give it to Vlad just because Danny struggled with the turnovers and stuff like that. That's a huge thing I knock him for. I know that, you know, maybe other people don't mention it as much because he just has such high of usage rate that maybe you can forgive that a little bit more. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, Vlad has been the rock of this Michigan team. It felt like ever since he found his identity for this team, that's really when this Michigan team started to take off. So I'm going to give the transfer of the year to Vlad. Kent, you going to make it 3-for-3, Vlad Golden?
I'm not. I'm going to be different. Okay. Just in case you make a graphic, I like to have a couple of different guys on there. So I'm going to have the entire Michigan team canceled out because their whole team is transfers, basically. Yeah. Except for Jace Howard, which is so weird that he's still on the team. Every time I see him on the bench. Do you guys think that's weird? Like, that has to be the weirdest dynamic ever, right? But anyways, I'm going to cancel out the whole Michigan team because they're all transfers. I'm going to give it to John Tonji from Wisconsin. Just to be different, right? I mean, he's averaging 17 and a half a game. That's pretty good. That's more than Golden. Now, I know Golden and Danny give you more, I think, you know, when it comes to rebounding and the assists and everything like that. But I think that John's been really important for Wisconsin, a team that's like kind of flying under the radar right now. I'd like to see them win their last game just to kind of stay involved in that Big Ten title race conversation. But they didn't. Still a really good team, though. And I think John's a really important part of it.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good pick. Tonji coming in as a transfer has been super helpful for this Wisconsin team. I'm not just super helpful, he's been, you know, key piece to this team the entire year. So it's been a big reason why they've been able to do what they do. All right, Kent, we're going to go back to you on this one. Defensive player of the year, who's your pick?
So when I first started filling this out, I automatically penciled in player of the year as Braden Smith, and I had Brooks Barnheiser as the defensive player of the year. So I just, since I've looked through it a little bit more and I decided to give Brooks the player of the year, I'm going to give Braden the defensive player of the year. That's literally the only reason why I did it. And I also think he's really good defensively, by the way. It's not like he's like a scrub on defense. I think he's tied with Brooks in steals per game this year. So that's a big factor. He can really shut down and give people problems, like anybody that's bringing it up from any team. Really good defensive player. So I'll give it to him.
Yeah, Braden is right behind him. Brooks is averaging 2.5 steals per game, and Braden is 2.3. And then after that is the reigning defensive player of the year, Ace Baldwin Jr., 2.1. Really stinks his back has been bothering him this year. He's not been you know, as effective on the defensive end as he has
been.
Not to say he's not been good. He's obviously been very good, but just not the same as he was last year.
If we're just talking about those two guys, honestly, I think it should be Brooks, but I didn't want to give him two awards, so I just gave it to Braden. And if we look at the next two guys, like you just said, Baldwin and Braden, the head-to-head matchup, you'd have to give it to Baldwin. So maybe I should have said that, but I do feel like I don't have another Purdue guy on here. I feel like Purdue deserves an award, kind of like Sonny said with Michigan earlier, so I'm going to give it to Braden for this one.
All right. Sonny, who you got?
Yeah, it came down to Brooks or Ace Baldwin for me, you know, the reigning defensive player of the year. But as Jared just mentioned, the back issues, you know, has to knock him down a notch. So I'm going to go with Brooks, and I'm not going to repeat the numbers that you guys have already mentioned, but, you know, he deserves the award.
Yeah, Brooks is who I went with as well. I do think we do need to mention Drew Thello from Iowa. He's only started 9 games this season, and he's averaging 2.1 steals per game. He's actually tied with Ace Baldwin Jr. right now in steals per game, and he's played like about half as many minutes as Braden Smith has. So when you're looking at steals per game, and he's up there with steals per game with Braden Smith, I think we have to mention his name. I'm not saying he should get it or anything like that, but just Drew Thelwell has been a good piece on defense for Iowa this year. I know I should wash out my mouth with soap after saying an Iowa defender for defensive player of the year, but
yeah, I was gonna say I can't in good conscience even mention anyone. If Minnesota comes to your arena and beats you, you can't be on the defensive player of the year list. You just can't. Sorry.
I understand. All right. Terrible take by me. I understand. So
no, it's fine. I see why you did it, but
I just think it's impressive what he's doing. So, all right, Sonny, we'll go to you first. Sixth man of the year. Who's your pick?
Sixth man. This is the one I was struggling with.
You want me to go first?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right, my pick for sixth man of the year is Jace Richardson. He has not started a game for Michigan State yet this season. Michigan State's had a very solid lineup throughout the year. Tom Izzo has found a good groove, and he's also found a good groove with Jace Richardson and what he's been able to do on the floor for the team. So as far as I'm concerned, Jace Richardson, he comes in, he's in the backcourt, does a fantastic job, and there's almost no, you know, drop-off when he does come into the game, and he plays a lot of minutes for him as well. So I'm going to go with Jace Richardson on that one. Kent, let's give Sonny a break. You go next.
I really thought about giving a guy that has started 0 games this year the sixth man of the year, and that's Jeffrey Anderson, the referee that has changed. I mean, he's had an impact on more games than any player in this conference, and he hasn't started a single game yet.
I'm going to mute myself.
I think Jeffrey Anderson should qualify, but if I'm being serious, I'll pick another guy that doesn't qualify because you said he started too many games. Parker Fox, he's the sixth man of the year for me every year. He came off the bench in their wins. if I'm not mistaken. They're like the Iowa game, I think he came off the bench, and then the Michigan game. I think both of those games he came off the bench. So he, when he comes off the bench, he's actually better for them than when he starts.
I will check that really fast. While
I'm not positive
Sonny,
about that, but don't, as a matter of fact, don't check that. Don't check that.
I am
just
checking
say
it.
It's back.
If you're wrong, I won't say anything, but if you're right,
okay,
I'll say
perfect.
Something.
Sounds good.
Go ahead, Sonny. Yeah, you know, honestly, I'm not going to put too much weight on this just because I still don't know. But I guess I haven't said a Michigan State player, and if I'm going to go by my rule earlier where I put in a Michigan player, Michigan State's undefeated. You know, they have not lost a game yet. We'll go with Jace. Go for it, JR.
All right, Jace Richardson. I am not mentioning the thing that Kent brought up. And we're moving on to coach of the year.
All right. If I was going to pick somebody that, because I actually just thought of that. I didn't give Michigan State any awards. I would go just to be different, Cohen Carr, just because of how exciting he is.
He has been very good and very electric off the bench for Michigan State. I thought about him as well. Okay. Actually, CB Analytics doesn't give me like starting, not starting each game on their game recaps for the players. So I have no idea if he started or not in those games. But I can see if he played as many minutes, and in the games that they've won, he's playing less than 20 minutes in most of them. But in the games that they win, the games they lose, he is playing like almost 30 minutes. Like Ohio State, they lost that one. He played 40 minutes in that game. I think that was like double overtime though, so not the full game. But
he's good. Yeah. He's good with less than 20, man. He's got to have some gas in the tank.
Yep. Ben Johnson, make sure you're subbing him out. You know, do some good stuff for your team there. Okay, Coach of the Year, Sonny. You want to go first on this one since you didn't go first on the sixth man?
For me, it's Dusty May. His team came in, I think the preseason media poll was, 9 or 10 for Michigan. As Kent talked about, they completely revamped that roster. And as an Illinois fan, I know how hard that can be. And now they sit, second place in the Big Ten Conference. This award's going to elude Brad Underwood for yet another year, but I think Dusty May absolutely deserves it.
Great pick. Kent?
Also said Dusty May. I like to be different, but I didn't write down more than two people for this. Honorable mention, Ben Johnson, because not only is he picking up some huge wins here in the middle of the season, he's also going to be coaching the Chicago Bears next year, which is crazy, right? Like, I didn't know you were allowed to do both. Did you guys hear that? Like, I got the notification on my phone. Ben Johnson's coaching the Chicago Bears next year. That's crazy.
That's nuts.
He's just that good of a coach.
It's weird.
He can coach so many teams all at once in different sports.
It's going to be tough, man. He's going to be busy next year.
Yeah. All right. So I was thinking about Dusty May. I decided to go with somebody else because I thought you guys might say Dusty May. I'm going to go with Tom Izzo. I think that Tom Izzo had a tough year last year, almost didn't make the tournament. He's coming back this year. He's got some experienced players, what he's doing with Jeremy Fears Jr. So I know Illinois fans, you know, just had the Michigan State game. I get it. But I think that Tom Izzo's done a good job this year. So to make it so we don't have the same guy three times straight, I'm going to give it to him. So
it's a good pick. He'll actually probably win it, to be honest.
Does the media like Tom Izzo better than Dusty May? I feel like they probably like Dusty May better, wouldn't they? Or is Tom Izzo really good to the media? I don't know who they like.
Tom Izzo is great. You ever see this man play an accordion?
No.
He's not. Great with the media.
I just know the referees don't like him with how much he yells at him.
So, they don't like him or they do?
I don't think the referees like Tom Izzo, do they?
If you've been on Twitter this week, you would think that they love Tom Izzo.
Yeah, I'm not going to agree with that, but okay. Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't normally like people that scream at me and berate me for 40 minutes straight. Not that that's happened.
Often. I'm just not going to say anything. We're going to
hit a commercial break.
I've said enough over the past week. I'm just going to sit here nodding my head and smile.
I'm trying to bait you here, Sonny. I'm going to clip this and then put it on Twitter and tag Matt from Locked On Michigan State.
Your chance. Nope.
All right, we're going to hit a commercial break, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about Big Ten NCAA tournament predictions. Homefield is your go-to destination for premium collegiate apparel with a passion for comfort and a flair for vintage design. Homefield brings you gear that is comfortable and stylish. With over 150 colleges to choose from, Homefield digs deep into the archives, uncovering forgotten logos, iconic mascots, and legendary moments to create one-of-a-kind apparel. Use my code TBTH for 15% off for new customers, or use my link in the description. Back here on the Big Ten Huddle, we are going to do some NCAA tournament predictions. We are also going to remind you to listen to the podcast. If you can't catch the stream live on YouTube, please do listen to the podcast. It's a great way to listen. And even though it doesn't have the graphics and all the nice thing we put on the podcast, we do try to explain everything and be sure that you get the full experience there. All right, guys, we are going to do our NCAA tournament predictions for the Big Ten. We're going to go through, we're going to give our highest seeded team prediction, one team that currently is outside of the net top 45, one team that is currently currently outside it that is going to make it, one team that is currently inside the net top 45 that won't make it, our lowest seeded team, how many Big Ten teams will make the tournament, and then where the Big Ten will rank in terms of most teams in the tournament compared to the other conferences. So let's start with the highest seeded team. Kent, we'll let you start again here. Who is your highest seeded team you're predicting for the Big Ten in the tournament?
I mean, it's got to be Michigan State at this point. Are we trying to project like what's going to happen the rest of the season?
Yes.
Okay. I'm still going to stick with Michigan State. I feel like the team that wins the conference, which I think is going to be them at this point in the season, they're in the best position to go win it. The team that wins the conference, if they can make it to the Big Ten Tournament Championship or just have a really good showing or even go win that, they'll definitely be either like a two at the lowest, a three, maybe even a one seed. So we'll see. I think it's going to be them, though.
All right. Sonny, who do you think?
I'm just going to play it safe. I think it's Purdue. I think they got as I mentioned earlier, they got the highest floor of the teams. And you know, the difference between the Big Ten last year and this year, there's just no elite team. And so to me, if gun to my head, I saw Michigan State, up close and personal last Sunday. And I think they're a very good team, but they don't have a superstar. And so I think I'm going to go with Purdue here just because I trust their coach more than anyone else. And again, highest floor for me. So I'm going to go with Purdue.
All right. I'm going to go with Purdue as well. I think Michigan State's a good pick, Kent, but for whatever reason, the numbers just don't love Michigan State as much this season. They're having a good season in terms of record, and they are first in the Big Ten, but you still have teams like Illinois, Purdue, Michigan that are ahead of them in the net. And part of the reason because of that is because Purdue and Illinois both have a ton of quad one games on their schedule so far this season. Now, Michigan State does have 10 of their final 13 games are quad one projected right now, so things like that could change. But I also look at that and say, if you got a bunch of quad one games, like, Michigan State's going to lose at some point. They're not just going to go undefeated in the Big Ten all season long. So who are they going to drop to? Are they going to drop a quad one game? Are they going to drop maybe a quad two game or two, something like that? We'll see. But as far as I'm concerned, the numbers love Purdue. Purdue has won the Big Ten 2 years in a row. And I think that, they'll probably get a little bit more favor based off Matt Painter, all that stuff. So I'm going to go with Purdue. All right. Sonny, we'll go with you first. Who is one team currently in the top 45 of net that you think will not make the NCAA tournament in the Big Ten?
Top 45 in the top 45. Okay, I thought we were
going to
go
like the generally the cutoff is like 45 to 47 is somewhere. Like if you're in the top 45, 47 in net, you're projected to make the tournament. Doesn't always work out that way, but that's kind of the general projection. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I'm saying a team that's in the top 45 that won't end up making the tournament.
So I mean,
you want me to go with someone else from the top 45?
Yeah, no, I just pulled it up right now, so I'm taking a look at that. Kent, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. I said Ohio State.
Okay.
I think that they have a chance to not make it. Like, I'd have to go back and remember every single good win that they have. They have the Texas win and the Purdue win now.
Kentucky, and too. That's it.
What's the last one?
Kentucky.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. That was a big one. Yeah, so, man, that's tough because they do have some good wins on their resume. But I could see them. That's a team that I see inside the top 45 right now that I have the least amount of faith in. I could see that team falling apart towards the end of the season when, like, the people that decide who's in the tournament and who's not are actually, like, putting eyes on the games and, like, watching these bubble teams. So I'm going to say Ohio State.
Yeah, Ohio State was my pick as well. They did have a three-game losing streak that kind of hurt them a little bit, but they didn't really drop out of the net all that much. They're still, I believe, 35th right now, 30th in net right now, which is kind of crazy. They're 11-8 on the year, but they've played 9 quad one games so far. That is tied for the most in the Big Ten, I believe. I think only Oregon has played. No. Illinois, after last night, they've played 9 as well. But yeah, 9 quad one games so far. So they're getting a lot of credit for all those. But I think at the end of the day, when you lose a bunch of quad one games, you're going to lose credit for it. And I think that's what's going to happen to Ohio State. They have Iowa coming up next, but then after that, it's at Penn State, at Illinois, Maryland, at Nebraska. Like, I don't know. I at some point, Ohio State's going to get blown out and their net rating is going to go down. So I'm with you there, Kent. All right, Sonny, who's your verdict?
Yeah, I mean, seeing that I glossed over Ohio State, I think that would have been an easy answer. I don't necessarily think it's going to happen, but I do wonder with the way things have been going for UCLA and Mick Cronin. I'm just going to throw that as like an outsider shot. Just taking a look, you know, 4-4, quad one, 1-2, quad two. What if, you know, this is more outside the basketball court circumstances, like with what's going on out there in LA. I just think Mick himself is a very volatile coach, and at least there's chemistry that can happen. I think Ohio State's the easy answer here, but just for the sake of our continuing not to try to have a same answers all around, I'll just say UCLA.
Yeah, they've won their last two, but they do have 2 quad two losses on the resume so far, so that could hurt them. They've played 8 quad one games, so still a lot there, but yeah, we'll see what happens with UCLA. We'll see if they can go 3 straight at Washington. I think another team
just to keep an eye on, because of, you know, again, it's really weird to talk about them right after last night, but is Maryland, because if that game, like, obviously they won last night, so it's weird to say this, but if they lost yesterday, they would be the easy pick to say, like, this team can't win on the road. And if they don't get a road win or a couple of road wins, if they go back to that, like if they go the rest of the season, don't win another road game, then I think it's Maryland. But now that I see that they could go on the road and beat Illinois, like, I have a little bit more faith in them doing that at least a couple more times this year. So I'd say keep an eye on them, but I think the safe pick is Ohio State.
Yeah, they only have 7 quad one games remaining, so they don't have a ton. I mean, when you look at compared to the rest of the Big Ten, I think it's like 7 of their next 11 or their final 11 games are quad one games.
Like the guy from Fox yesterday, is it DeCourcy? Am I saying his name right? He's like a bracketologist from Fox.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I believe he said that the win yesterday was absolutely essential and massive for Maryland to keep their tournament hopes alive. But I believe he still had them like around like a 10 or a 9 seed after the game yesterday. So like they're right there at like, if they drop to just a little bit more, they're going to be out of the tournament because of all the teams that are going to get the automatic bids from the conference tournament. So like I said, just a team to keep an eye on is Maryland, but also Ohio State.
Yeah, they're up there in the net. They're at 20. So, but they don't have the most quad one games, only 6 so far on the season. So we'll, the Illinois win last night helps them, but we'll see how it goes. So, all right, let's look at teams outside the top 45 in net that could possibly make the Big Ten, or not the Big Ten tournament, the NCAA tournament. I'm going to go out on a limb here, guys. I don't know what it is about this team. Maybe I'm a fool. Maybe I believe too much in their coach because everybody else wants them fired. No, not them, Kent. I'm going to go with Indiana. I think that Indiana could get hot toward the end and maybe win some games. They're only 65th in net right now. For whatever reason, the numbers hate Indiana every single year. I think it's because they play some of these non-conference games closer than they should. But I think Indiana, like, they have the same record as Illinois right now in the Big Ten. So, like, everybody wants to talk about how fire Mike Woodson and everything. And don't get me wrong, I said on the show, like, it's not a bad thing for teams to have expectations, but they don't have a terrible record. They have some games that are winnable in front of them this season. If they can pull off a couple things, Umar Ballo is still an incredible 5. If Malik Renew gets back and they can figure out that whole lineup and how they're going to play with both of them out there, and if Miles Rice can just stop fouling Miles Rice, you know, they could make some noise. So that's my Homer Indiana take. Kent, who's yours?
I was just looking at, I just want to talk about yours just for a second. Their next 6 games, listen to this schedule that Indiana has coming up. Maryland coming to town, so like absolutely need it, because after that it's at Purdue, at Wisconsin, Michigan coming to town, at Michigan State, UCLA coming to town. Like, brutal upcoming schedule, actually, for Indiana. Like, I could see them losing four of those six games. And then they're in deep doo-doo. I'm taking USC to answer your question, and I think it's mainly because wishful thinking. I love this USC team. I think that they started out really slow, but once they started gelling and playing together, and oh, by the way, they're still missing Terrence Williams. So maybe if he ever comes back, I don't know where he's been. He's been gone for like a month. This is a team that's dangerous, man. They have some absolute dogs on their team. I love USC. So I think I'm just hoping that they actually make the NCAA tournament more than I actually think that they will. I'm trying to will it into existence.
There you go. And of course, you love the name Wesley Yates.
I love Wesley Yates. Love him. I love USC basket. Like, the other thing is too, like, some of these teams, I will say I am 100% biased when it comes to teams like Northwestern, USC, when their actual basketball accounts are retweeting me or like responding to me, I like them better. Illinois basketball accountants never done that for me. I talk about them all the time. I never see them get a retweet from them ever. Where are you guys at? You want some more love from me? Give me it's some true. Love.
Minnesota's football account retweeted me in the football season. So, you know, maybe that's why I just like Minnesota so much. Sunny, we know you are not influenced by retweets on Twitter. So give us your pick.
You know, so I was actually going to say Indiana as well. I'm not going to now just because I can't imagine this Indiana team with that much talent on it just not making it to the tournament. But I was actually surprised, you know, looking at it right now, that Northwestern's not in the top 45, I think.
Yeah, I think they're like 46 or something like that.
I'm just barely not in the top 45. But
no, but it's outside the top 45.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, that's a good basketball team. And they've got a very good coach. Not the best coach, but a very good coach. And, you know, I think just that's the easy answer for here.
All right. That makes sense. Our next one is lowest seeded team. This could possibly be the same as your last answer. So, you know, if it is, that's fine. Don't worry about it. But I also thought that maybe if you think another team could be down there for that, you might give them as well. And I'm going to go with Northwestern. I think that Northwestern's going to squeak into the tournament. I think they're going to kind of be one of those last four in. The win over Illinois, I think, is going to be good for them later on in the season. And I could see them squeaking out another big-time win that could, you know, impress the committee and put them in the tournament. So that's going to be my pick, is Northwestern. Kent, who's yours?
I also said Northwestern. I probably should say USC because they're so much further back in the net right now, and the way that their season's gone, maybe they squeak in even more by the skin of their teeth. But I wanted to have a different answer, kind of like we've been doing the whole show. So I just said Northwestern instead for that one.
Makes sense, Sonny.
I'll go with Indiana here because, again, I don't think it's going to happen with their regular season schedule. But what if, you know, they just all of a sudden flip a switch and get hot in the Big Ten tournament and, you know, win a few games in a row? The talent is certainly there. So I'll say Indiana sneaks in with a big Big Ten tournament showing.
That's a good pick because I feel like Indiana is the type of team that even if they're not deserving of being in the tournament, they'll force feed us Indiana just to make it in there. I like that pick.
You got to get,
and I don't think that they're going to be deserving, by the way.
but USC is Northwestern will be. All right, very good. Mm-hmm. We will move
absolutely.
On.
How did I tell you about the retweets?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
okay,
you did.
Good. You're good.
Yeah,
okay.
I understand. How many Big Ten teams will make the NCAA tournament? You don't need to give me your like list of all of them, but how many Big Ten teams do you think will make it into the Big Ten tournament? Right now, Net is projecting that 10 will make it in. What are your thoughts, Sonny? Can you go first for this one, or you need me?
I'm good. I'm right at 10. I'm right at 10, only because I have Indiana squeezing in with that Big Ten tournament victory.
All right, there you go. I'm going to go with 9. I think for whatever reason, there's going to be one team that just kind of is on the bubble and gets left out for whatever reason. So, you know, the fact that the Big Ten hasn't won a national championship in X amount of years, and I know everybody loves to hear that stat, but I do think that gets used against them sometimes by the committee, especially for some of these lower seeded teams that could possibly make it in that are on the bubble. So we'll see, but that's my thought, is 9. Kent, where are you at?
I originally wrote down 8, and that was just because I think that was the first key that I hit when I was filling this out. But I just counted all the teams that I want to make the tournament, and it was 9. So I'll say 9.
All that you want. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That makes sense. All right. So Kent says 9. Sunny is the most optimistic.
10 seems like too many for a team that has 18 teams, or a conference that has 18 teams. Like, more than half get in. That's...
So again, for me, it's the 9. But then the previous segment, I just said I had Indiana winning the Big Ten tournament. So they squeeze in as number 10.
Wait, you said they're going to... I didn't hear you say that. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm not saying I think they're going. For the sake of the question, I answered Indiana as the top, the team outside the... wait, what was the question?
Team outside the top 45.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go.
Indiana might not be at the Big Ten tournament.
I think they'll be fine. I think they'll make it.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
they have a better chance than Ohio State right now. Okay, let's look at the Big Ten. Will have the blank most teams of any conference. So will they have the most, second most, third most, fourth most? I will go ahead. I'm going to say they're going to have the second most. And I think even if the Big 12 gets up there, I think they'll be tied with the Big 12 at worst. So SEC, they're probably going to get like 12, 13 teams in there. There's just so much love for that conference this year. It deservedly so. They are the best conference in college basketball so far this season. But I think the Big 10 is going to be up there. 18 teams, all that kind of stuff. So I think the Big 10 at the very worst will tie with the Big 12 for the most, or the second most teams. Kent, where are you at?
Same. Said the exact same thing. SEC is going to have the most, and Big 10 will have the second most.
All right. Sonny, you with us?
Yeah, if I have 10 Big 10 teams going in there, SEC will be number one, and I can't imagine someone else having more than 10.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
The SEC boys. Still sucks, though, by the way, just for the record. They still do suck at everything.
They do. We hate them.
Okay.
At least I do. I don't know if Sonny does. Sonny, you with us? Do you hate the SEC?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. But Brad took care of him. Or not Brad. Brett took care of him. Brett Bielema.
We weren't even, like, all the Big Ten teams weren't even trying in those regular season games. Just wait till the tournament starts. We'll show them where the real conference is. Haven't won a national championship in like, what, 30 years, but that's okay.
We'll show them. All right.
We'll show them who's boss.
Anything else you guys want to get to before we get out of here?
No, I don't. Good show. I had a blast today, guys. This was fun doing it, all three of us together.
Ted says, I live in SEC country. They are awful. So sorry for you, Ted. I can't imagine living down there.
I do too, by the way. They are awful fans.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're like on the fringe, kind of. You're like, I know, I guess
Tennessee?
The fringe is the state above you. Yeah. No, the fringe is the state above you.
Vanderbilt? Have you met Vanderbilt fans? They're crazy, dude. I'm just kidding.
Are they really?
No.
I just realized I just moved down to SEC country, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look at that. You guys, boots on the ground in SEC country, giving us the takes down there. All right.
I really wanted to get out of SEC country tonight and go to the Purdue-Michigan game, but I had something pop up at the last minute, and I'm not able to go. The tickets were, like, semi-reasonable, but I still haven't been to Mackey yet, and this was, like, I thought a good opportunity because it's a Friday night. Not going to make it, though, guys. Sorry.
The OHIO podcast says, I interrupted my video of watching Bigfoot playing a saxophone for this video, and now you guys are leaving? Really? Well, you got to be here at the right time. All right? You got to be here at the right time, Eric.
Didn't he say that last week, too? I feel like he said that last week.
Something like that. You know, make 1 o'clock your Big Ten huddle time, not your Bigfoot saxophone time. So, you know, maybe just swap your schedule around. It'll help you out a little bit better, Eric. So... Thanks for being here, everybody. We appreciate it. Go check out Sonny at Locked On Illini and Illini Cast. Go check out Kent at Casual Big Ten on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. And we'll see you on Sunday night. Me and Zach will have a football episode. And then if you just watch the basketball stuff, me and Kent will be back on Monday at 10 o'clock. Or if it's not Kent, I'll have somebody else with me. So we'll do our power rankings. It'll be a good time. So thanks so much for watching, everybody. We appreciate it. Have a good one.